It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Sometimes we read the words of someone else and find that they speak to us in a profound way. They may say exactly what we wish we could say, give us a mantra for how we want to live our lives, or just make us laugh long and hard. This hour, we're going to talk about the power of great quotations, and we want to hear your favorite quotes and what they mean to you. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And with me today is Dick Peters. He is a professor emeritus of education at Cornell College. He also taught high school for many years before he was at Cornell. He's also a quotation buff, and he's with me now. Hi, Dick.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for being here today. And you often used quotations in the classroom as a teacher. Why did you like to do that?
Well, I found it was a way to introduce to the student a very important actor in our history. And I never used long quotations. I always used very short ones. And I almost always took the quotation from a current reading that we would be doing later in the week or that we have done for today. So I didn't reach into the bowels of libraries and come up with ideas and words that no one had ever heard from before. I mean, and they will, as I asked my students to consider when they saw this quotation, when they heard it, didn't it seem familiar? You know, these words are wise words, and I think they would find them important in their own lives.
Can you give me an example of a quotation that you like to use?
Yes. From Henry David Thoreau, "In wildness is the salvation of the world." I love that word. I love that. I like Henry David Thoreau anyway, for lots of reasons, and students read him in many classes that I taught. And so I like that. In wildness, you see, is the preservation of the world. And then John Muir, that came in a little bit later than Henry David Thoreau, said something very similar. Because Mr. Muir walked so far, like he walked to Florida, and then he walked to California, and then he walked to Alaska. So he memorized so much. And I think there's great value in memorizing. You know, is there something from the person we're reading about now that you would like to take with you the rest of your life? And John Muir always said that wildness was the hope of the world. And that's just a little different than Thoreau said it. But it is still exciting. Students are, by their very nature, conservationists. They really are. It's only by living in a technological world that we become tempted to not be conservationists. You know, to look at the trees and the grass and the animals, especially the animals. You know, to look at a fox family, you can't be anything but a conservationist. You don't see a fox fur coat when you see a fox family. You don't. You see excitement. You see dependence. You see excursion. Because these are animals with nature's heart. So I think it should be, the quotation should be short, and they should come from the readings that you give the students.
So you feel like shorter quotations have a stronger impact?
Yes, much stronger.
Why?
Because first off, a student looks at 50 words they have to memorize. Oh my God, we can't do that. You know, besides we got basketball. And how can we do that? And so therefore, it's just as useful for smaller children who don't have quite the attention span. But I think high school, college students, I think they're put off when they see a long thing to memorize. You know, you can tell them that John Muir memorized the New Testament. Well, my word, we're not John Muir. We don't have the motivation. We're going to walk 2,000 miles. We don't want to carry the New Testament with us, so we want to have it in our mind. So I think it's just exciting to see that they can memorize this in a few minutes, a few seconds. And so that's why I think short is much better. When we look at Thomas Jefferson, imagine how much the guy wrote. I mean, thousands of letters. Thousands. And they're in the library. We have most of them. And then you say, what would be important to memorize? Well, he set the philosophy of this nation in place with the little statement, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You see? And that these truths were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that's just wonderful to know. And when they hear it, they say, oh, that's familiar. So now we're going to work with it, see what it is.
In quoting someone like Thomas Jefferson, mm-hmm. sometimes the language can be a little bit opaque or mm-hmm. inaccessible to mm-hmm. young people. Does that take away from the power
no.
of the quotation?
No. No, because that's part of the study. What do these words mean to you, and how were they used then? So pick up a newspaper from that time, and that's available in any good computer. You know, I hate those damn things. But I know at the same time they're very valuable. But you see, we used to pick up the newspaper and hold it. Or then we went to those little microfiche things, and I didn't like those either. But go to the newspaper and read the words. Spend an hour and a half just being with the people of that time, because those newspapers said where birthday parties were. They said what the weather was like. They talked about grandfather's favorite meal. And when you see all those words together, then Thomas Jefferson's words, even though they're flowery and he's more educated and he thought about his words, and he and George Washington crossed out a lot and rewrote them years later so that they looked better. It's just still fun to see that we can understand them. We can.
There are quotations everywhere mm-hmm. now. I listed some of the many, many places that okay. we find great quotations. And they're all over online. People mm-hmm. love mm-hmm. quotations. They love to share quotes.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's important that we understand the historical environment that these quotes emerged from when we think about something amazing and profound that Thomas Jefferson said or mm-hmm. George Washington said? Mm-hmm. Is it important also to understand the time?
It's essential. The first time I walked into the New York Public Library, and I would like to walk in again this afternoon, but the first time I did and saw those quotations on the walls, I was struck by the power of the words of these people and how important thought was to these individuals. And we've preserved them on the walls of that great library. And I always ask my students that, all right, you're going to go to Broadway and see a play because you're in the dramatic club. Well, all right, that'll be inspirational. But go to the damn library. There's where inspiration is. And stand there by yourself, not with your friends that are poking at you. Stand there and breathe in Teddy Roosevelt. Because this was Teddy's city. He was chief of police of this city, commissioner of police. So you have to be careful, because every time you put a quote on the board or every time you say something, somebody will say, well, that isn't quite right. Well, sure, it's not quite right. But these people always changed what they said. They were careful. They wanted to be accurate, and they wanted to be a little better than they were when they said it. And today we do that in the Congress, you know, just like it's a wholesale. Nobody puts the exact words in, because those weren't very cool. So I just love, yes, I think the historical significance. Speak softly and carry a big stick. We all know that. But why did he say that? What was life like when he said it? You know, way back around 1900. What a wonderful time. Great, great, great grandparents were alive then, you see. My grandfather, just think about that. Now, my grandfather told me about his grandfather describing Andrew Jackson's inauguration. We're not a very old country. That's just pretty good stuff. You're going to want to know. And so Andrew Jackson was a quotable gentleman too. And they all were, because they were so important. And you can't talk about any one of those people in the 19th century without having that voice in the back talking to you, and that's the voice of the women who weren't allowed to talk in front. Their voice was always there, but it was always sort of in the back. And when you see people like Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who lived about the whole century, she's just wonderful to listen to what she had to say. She wasn't in favor of the new amendments to the Constitution after the Civil War because they didn't specifically include women. They only include black men. She opposed the 14th Amendment, which is the heart of our rights today. The 14th Amendment says no person to be denied any right. An equal protection of the law was guaranteed. So every once in a while, memorizing the Constitution doesn't hurt either. You know. So I like that. I like that stuff. But history, historical setting is essential.
Who are some of your other favorite people to quote?
Ralph Waldo Emerson. You know, when he just he was an essayist and he was a lecturer before we had electronic gadgets, before Thomas Edison came on the scene. Even though they did meet, I think, one time. But it's important to know Mr. Emerson was also a poet. And very few things speak to us more clearly than poetry. Very few things. And when I had my English teacher require me to memorize all this poetry, and she said, Richard, sometimes she called me Raymond, my father's name. You know, she said, Raymond, you will enjoy this someday, 50 years from now, because you know it. And that's what memory does for us. You know, history is memory. And it's wonderful and it's exciting. So at Ralph Waldo Emerson, by the Rude Bridge, you know, that arched the flood, the embattled farmers stood. And then I'll skip the next line. And fired the shot heard round the world. Now, who can say that? We know what the shot was, the start of the revolution. But we don't. This only came from his heart.
Right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about great quotations this hour. In just a moment, we're also going to be joined by the novelist Lev Raphael. And we also want to hear from you, 866-780-9100. My guest is Dick Peters, Professor Emeritus of Education at Cornell College. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about great quotations, and we want to hear from you as well. Dick Peters is here with me. He's a professor emeritus of education at Cornell College in Mount Vernon. He also taught high school for 24 years before he was at Cornell, and we're talking about great quotations. We also want to hear your favorites. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Jim is on the line in Spencer. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Yeah, I love Ford. He said, Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Also an anonymous one. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those that will give you 50 reasons why it can't be done, and those who just do it. But, you know, I think things like there's no crying in baseball or Mark Twain's quote about statistics, you know, there being three types of statistics, you know, the lies, damn lies. But, I think the great quotes are things that, you know, you just can't forget them. Those are the best.
Yeah. Well, Jim, thank you so much for sharing with us. And Marcia's on the line next in Iowa City. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, how you doing? I'm so pleased to speak with you today.
Thanks. What would you like to share?
I enjoy my quote so much. Well, I subscribe to a periodical called The Sun, and their back page is fabulous for quotes. It's totally reader-supported. I get many of mine. Here's my first. Our dangerous class is not at the bottom. It is near the top of society. Riches without law are more dangerous than is poverty without law. Ooh, and I opened my kitchen cupboard and I've got 100 quotes posted.
Really?
And here's another favorite. Use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. That's my poverty quote.
So, Marcia, when you open up the cupboard, do you spend a little time reading a couple of your quotes?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And when people get to know me, I then reveal to them my kitchen cupboards, and they find out a little more about who I am. Now, here we go. Freedom is what you do with what's been done to you. And from Jane Addams, the dictators of the world will make you fight, but the women of the world will make you free.
Marcia, thank you so much for sharing a few of your favorites.
I do live in Iowa City, don't I? Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye. And you can share your favorite quotations at 866-780-9100. Lev Raphael is on the line with us now. He is an author of many books. His most recent is Assault with a Deadly Lie, and you can find out more about him at levraphael.com. And just yesterday, he published an article in the Huffington Post about four fake quotes by famous authors. Hello, Lev.
Yes, good morning. Great to talk to you, Chuck.
Oh, thank you so much for being here today. And we've been talking a little bit about how accessible quotes are now. But with the internet, people love to share quotes. They love to take inspiration from quotes and put them on pretty things and post that on Pinterest. But we have a problem with fake quotations, don't we?
Yes. Well, what I'm finding is that people love putting words into authors' mouths that they never said. And they turn great authors into Hallmark cards so that you find Mark Twain, Jane Austen, and all sorts of people saying things that really would be more appropriate on a T-shirt or in a Nike ad, so that the quote that is all over on mugs and everywhere on the internet by George Eliot, "It is never too late to be what you might have been," very inspiring. There's no proof at all that she ever said it. Nobody has ever found it.
And you're a bit of an Eliot scholar, so when you saw that, that just sounded wrong to you?
And that's the key thing. I think your guest was talking about the period. I think what happens is that people just have tin ears. They hear something and they say, "Oh, that sounds really good." And they don't realize that it sounds contemporary. It sounds like something they might have said, and they don't realize that people in the 19th century spoke differently and wrote differently and had different syntax and had different vocabulary and had a more sophisticated way of speaking. One quote that is often attributed to Oscar Wilde is, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." I mean, seriously, does that sound like the author of The Importance of Being Earnest? No, it sounds like a comeback you might hear on a TV show. It's not something that he said or ever said. It sounds like something from an ad. And in fact, there is some suspicion that it was composed by someone in the advertising world in the early 1920s, although no one is exactly sure. And what I tell people, in the same way that, you know, the internet spreads crazy rumors about politics, I say, you know, if you're going to post a quote by a favorite author or an author, it only takes a few seconds to Google. And, you know, if you don't see it listed by any attribution, then think about it. And if the only place it shows up is on Tumblr and Pinterest, then maybe it doesn't exist. You know, this is the November, so it's NaNoWriMo. Everybody's in the world is writing 50,000 words and is writing a novel. So one quote that is showing up everywhere is a Faulkner quote, "Don't be a writer, be writing." Okay. You know, and it's punctuated in different ways. Well, Faulkner never said it, okay? I don't know who said it. Somebody said it, and it sounds kind of good, but...
Well, and Faulkner said some things that could be kind of paraphrased that way, right?
Possibly. Well, so did a lot of people. you know, anybody could have said something that could be boiled down to, "Don't be a writer, be writing." Probably most writers in the world have said something that would boil down to, "Stop being a writer, just write." You know, you probably said that at some point. I probably said that at some point as a novelist. I probably said that to my students because I also guest teach at Michigan State as a creative writing professor. I somewhat disagree with your guest. Sometimes I use longer quotations because I think those can sometimes sink in a bit better with students because they have more resonance. in the sense that they give students more of a feel for the author's voice, while the short quotes do give more punch. The slightly longer quotes give you more rhythm and more entrance into what the author is saying. For instance, sometimes I share this with students of mine, writing students, who are really worried or doubtful about their art and what am I doing and where is it going and is this worth anything. And I think one of the greatest things that James ever wrote is in his short story, The Middle Years, which is one of his artist stories. And someone said, and a despairing artist says, "We work in the dark, we do what we can, we give what we have. Our doubt is our passion, and our passion is our task. The rest is the madness of art." And my students love that. They just really love that. And I think the rhythm of it, the repetition in it, gets the point home to them. So sometimes a longer quotation is more effective and more beautiful. But students love quotations. I mean, that I've always found that to be true. And I quote from James. I quote from any writer who I think can be helpful to them in any class whatsoever. And sometimes it's even a contemporary writer if someone has said something that is really evocative and helpful. And sometimes I even quote from them if they've said something in class or written something and remind them, you know, what about that, what you said in that story? That's really good. And they forget, you know. I think students can often be very unassuming and shy about their own work.
Well, Lev, before we let you go, we've talked about some of the fake quotes that drive you nuts, and just the fact that there are fake quotes out there drives you nuts. But give me an example of another one of your favorite quotes.
Oh, I've got lots of them. I think Elizabeth Bowen in The House in the Death of the Heart said, "Home is where we emotionally live." I think that's beautiful. Carl Jung said "Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens." And then this is the one that actually inspired me most when I started out as a novelist. It's from Virginia Woolf, and it's in her first book, which nobody ever reads and people don't even know about very much. It's called The Voyage Out. And someone asks a novelist, "Well, what novels do you write?" And he hasn't actually written yet, and he says, "I want to write a novel about silence, the things people don't say." And that's been my mantra as a novelist, the things people don't say.
Lev, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Great. It's been great to be here.
Lev Rafael is an author of many books. His most recent is Assault with a Deadly Lie, and you can find out more about him at levrafael.com. And again, he just published an article about fake quotations in the Huffington Post yesterday, 4 fake quotes by famous authors. We have a lot of people who want to join our conversation. With me is Dick Peters, Professor Emeritus of Education at Cornell College. And pardon me, you're welcome to join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page. And next up is Chris on the line in Carlisle. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi. What's a quote that you'd like to share?
I have a favorite quote of Winston Churchill, which was, "Any young man who is not a liberal has no heart. Any old man who is not a conservative has no brain."
And why does that mean so much to you?
I think probably the most powerful thing in the world is the ability to say, "I changed my mind." You know, and it may be difficult for some other people to accept, you know, when you do change your mind. But to have the ability to, I thought that was a very great comeback to say, "Well, I just changed my mind." And I think there's nothing more powerful than that.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for sharing. And Winston Churchill is the source of so many great quotations, and I'm guessing quite a few that he didn't actually say as well. Dick, did you ever dip into that well as a teacher?
Well, the ones I used from Winston Churchill were all, you know, pretty much pertaining to politics and war. But, You know, there are quotations that are not very kind, too. And at times, students have to be introduced to that. You know, Teddy Roosevelt, with all of his great braggadocio and pro-Americanness, you know, said, in America, there should be no hyphenated Americans. And this was the time of, well, just astounding immigration in the country. You know, 25% of the kids in the Chicago schools couldn't speak English. And we always think that these are new things that happened to us, you know. Very little new has happened recently. And I think you also have to introduce students to ideas that they would find somewhat repugnant. I really do. So Winston Churchill said a lot of really nasty things, too. But he was one of the most effective political leaders the world has ever seen. And I think he's outstanding. I think we've made him a citizen of the United States. The only person we've ever just passed a law in Congress said, you're a citizen of the United States. I might have dreamt that, though, but I think that's true. Sometimes you will dream things and then put it down as a quote, you know. I spoke about Ralph Waldo Emerson a minute ago. He also said, I hate quotations. So he thought maybe quotations were taking a little bit away from your own personal creativity.
But there is such power when we find words that represent yes. something that we've felt yes. but have never had the words to
Correct.
Say.
I agree.
Let's go back to the phones. Jamie is on the line in Strawberry Point. Hello, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
My favorite quote is actually a poem by Walt Whitman, and I was just going to read the first stanza. It's, O Captain, my Captain,
sure.
our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought was won. The port is near, the bells I hear, the people all exulting, which follow you, the steady keel, the vessel grim and daring. Oh, the bleeding drops of red, where on the deck my captain lies, fallen cold and dead. I think my favorite part about it is just how it describes perhaps a president in our country faced the most adversity, and also, for me at least, encapsulates one of the greatest artists of my lifetime, the actor Robin Williams.
So is that where you first encountered it, in the Dead Poets Society?
No, I mean, I think growing up in history books in elementary and middle school, I think reading in a social studies book, but then I think in high school, seeing Dead Poets Society just kind of, I don't know, made it mean that much more.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for sharing. I think there is a lot of power in film. We love to quote movies. And I was thinking about that just this morning in thinking about this show. There are so many movie lines that people love to quote, and I suspect it's because whoever wrote the script had an experience in real life, and they wished that they'd had the time to think of just the right thing to say. And then when they write the script, they do. They think of that perfect thing to say, and so we love to repeat it because we wish we could think of the perfect thing to say forever. Let's go back to the phones. Sally's on the line in Marshalltown. Hi, Sally.
Am I going to take
Sally?
Hi. Sorry, I had to move to a different spot.
That's okay.
I can't decide on one, so I have three favorites, and I'll do them really quick so other people have a chance. My one is a little longer, and it goes, it's William Wordsworth. Come forth into the light of things, let nature be your teacher. And I so appreciated your guest starting out with nature quotes. That made me very happy. And then my other favorite is actually from a Hallmark card, and I use it in my classes every year, in my environmental biology classes, to let my students introduce themselves. And it goes, save the Earth, it's the only planet with chocolate.
And less of it.
Yes, and then I have the students, I leave it blank at the end, and I have them fill in what they would put after save the Earth, it's the only planet with. So I also wanted to give a little thanks to whoever that Hallmark person was that wrote that, because I've used it for years. And then my last one is also an anonymous one. I don't know where it came from, but I use it every year in my classes. And it goes, statistics is like a bikini. What it reveals is provocative, but what it conceals is vital.
That's wonderful. Sally, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we have to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm here with Dick Peters. He's Professor Emeritus of Education at Cornell College in Mount Vernon. And we'd love to hear from you as well. Post on our Facebook page. Send us an email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk or give us a call at 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about great quotations, and we would love to hear your favorite quotes and what they mean to you. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page. With me is Dick Peters. He's Professor Emeritus of Education at Cornell College. He also taught high school for many years and used quotations in his classrooms quite a lot. And Dick, we have so many people who want to share their favorite quotes. This one is from Brian. He says, "Every day I strive to be the person my dog thinks I am." And that's an anonymous one. That's all over the place, but that's such a wonderful line. This one is from Jean in Solon. I just found this one on a card from Shelter House in Iowa City from Steven Spielberg. "The past may dictate who we are, but we get to determine what we become." And then this one is from Shannon, and she says she found this on a card, and it's been immensely helpful for her to finally begin to overcome a lifelong lack of confidence. Mm. But this one's from George Adair. "Everything you want is on the other side of fear." And I do think a lot of us take a lot of courage from quotations. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is, Dick, that we take a good quote can just really give us strength?
Well, imagine the heart of good people in the past speaking to us, succinctly today. That's why it's so important. You get a part of Mr. Jefferson, a part of Elizabeth Cady Stanton. You get a part of Theodore Roosevelt, and I think that their words can inspire us and can soothe us and give us confidence. So I think it's because we get a portion of the heart of these great people.
Let's go to the phones. Next up is Danielle in Woodward. Hello, Danielle.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll be brief. Our native son, Aldo Leopold, the great conservationist, talked about quit thinking about decent land use as solely an economic problem. And his measure of good practice was, "A thing is right when it tends to preserve the integrity, stability, and the beauty of the biotic community. It is wrong when it tends otherwise. I teach, breathe, and live ecological restoration," and he has been just an inspiration for me.
And he is incredibly quotable. He has so many great lines. Dick?
I had a student who was at Iowa State University, and she called me, and she said, "At the Aldo Leopold Symposium tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be talking about these wonderful conservation ideas that this great Iowan brought us all." She said, "Maybe you want to come up and go to the symposium with me." So, you know, knowing people and a little bit of their mind and heart does carry over when you're studying mathematics or engineering at a prominent university, and you still want to know something about the human aspect of the world. And Aldo Leopold guides us there every day.
Absolutely.
His literature is with us and is in every library. You know, it's wonderful.
Now, one of my favorites is, "There are two spiritual dangers in not owning a farm. One is the danger of supposing that breakfast comes from the grocery, and the other that heat comes from the furnace." But Danielle, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for bringing up Aldo Leopold.
Roger's on the line next in Dubuque. Hi, Roger.
Hey, Terry.
Hi, what would you like to share?
Well, gee, with all these famous people, I'm going to add something from my eighth grade educated father, who told me one time when we were passing a car dealership that had a sign out front, free hot dogs, and I wanted him to stop. He said, there ain't nothing in this life that's free. And I will never forget that.
Those are wise words, Roger. Thank you so much. You know, it is. It's funny. There are quotes that get passed down in families, too. And I think we have the funniest one that we use in my family. And this is from, it's either from my grandmother or my great-grandmother. I think my grandmother used to quote her mother saying, never sew when you're tired. And it's funny how often you can apply that to things that you do in life, believe it or not. Daisy's on the line next in Iowa City. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I have several. I love quotes, so I'm going to try to be fast, and I have about three.
Okay.
The first one is for a favorite writer, Oscar Wilde, and his quote that I like is, anybody can sympathize with the suffering of a friend, but it requires a very fine nature to sympathize with a friend's success.
That's
and
wonderful.
And another by Twain that I cannot apply to myself is, worries are interest we pay on loans we never get. And another one, and I will quit, is by Napoleon. And he said, let China sleep, that when it wakes up, it will shake the world. And I have many others, but I know you are short of the time, but thank you for the program. It's wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling and sharing some of your favorites. Next up, we've got Susan in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan. Oh, hi, Charity.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I have one, and I didn't realize it was from Ralph Waldo Emerson, but I say it all the time, and we're just out of an election cycle, so it's very apropos. And it's, the louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons.
Susan, thank you so much for sharing that one.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to Barry on the line next in Omaha. Hi, Barry.
Hi.
This one's one for our generation, I'm guessing, Barry.
Yeah, there's a couple, actually. The one I really like is, do or do not. There is no try.
Which
That's
is
from Yoda.
Yoda, obviously.
Right.
Okay, a very, very wise Jedi once said.
Yeah, and there's another one I like. Can't remember who said it, but the quote is, you can do anything you want, but you can't do everything you want. I think that's a good way to focus people and make them understand, much as you'd like to do everything, just not possible.
Yeah. Well, Barry, thanks so much for your call.
All right. Thanks.
Dick, what do you think makes a person quotable?
Sympathy. A person who can see in others the life they're leading, and then they comment on that in something very personal, like an editorial in the newspaper. An editorial is only good if you're writing it to one person, and when you read that and you feel you are the person, that writer has done a wonderful thing. And a good writer can do that and speak to many of us in the same way. So I think it's sympathy that makes a person, quote, a person who understands our lives and the lives of general people in special, sensitive ways.
Here are a few more quotes. This one's from Stephanie. If you bungle raising your children, I don't think whatever else you do matters very much. That's a quote from Jackie Kennedy. And Stephanie says, this quote has guided my life for the last 17 years and through 5 children. I feel it helps cut the clutter of life. This one is from Janine in Iowa City. One of my favorite quotes is attributed to Gilda Radner. It is, I base most of my fashion sense on what doesn't itch.
Oh, my goodness.
And there are so many funny lines that speak to us, too. This one's from Robert in Des Moines. For 16 years, I wrote a column for the monthly periodical then and still today published by the Iowa State Association of Counties. The column concerned public policy and the view from the perspective of county officials. Each column was introduced by a quotation, which seemed to be apropos to the column's topic. I used everything from Wendell Berry to Woody Allen to Casey Stengel and Saul Alinsky,
yeah,
and also to Homer Simpson for something appropriate for today's program. Look at Google's special tribute to Sister Carita Kent, and this is on the Google Doodle today. She is a nun from Iowa, and the quote that is there is, "To understand is to stand under, which is to look up. To which is a good way to understand." I think I kind of slaughtered that. I'm sorry, but let's go back to the phones to get a few more of people's favorites quotes. This is from Sean in Marion. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Well, two of my favorite quotes help me when I'm feeling really down and out. One is by Mao Zedong, and it goes, "It only takes a spark to set off a prairie fire." And another one is from a professional wrestler, maybe not as quite highbrow as what these people are contributing, but it is, "I am the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be." That's from Bret the Hitman Hart.
All right, Sean, thanks a lot for sharing.
Yep.
When you look around the internet, so many things that get quoted are things that feel like they could have come from anybody. I mean, there's a difference between great quotations that endure and lines that we just love, don't you think?
Oh, yes. I think so. One of the ones I wanted to absolutely say before we were to leave our little program is that I was standing at the foot of Thomas Jefferson's 19-foot statue in Washington, D.C., in the Jefferson Memorial. And the thing that came to me immediately, and there's his quotes are all over the place there, says that the earth belongs to the living, not the dead. And so he was able to look into the future in many ways, and he didn't want to make – he wanted to make sure that we were not shackled to the ideas of that day and that we would have ideas of merit in the future. He had great confidence in the United States of America.
That's powerful. This is from Judy. She says, "I'm a former English teacher and read the book A Day No Pigs Would Die by mm-hmm. Robert Newton Peck to my 8th grade students. These are my favorite quotes from that book. Never pass up a chance to keep your mouth shut. And a job done right beats two done ragged. My all-time favorite quote came from President Lincoln. I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I've lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside me." Let's go back to the phones. Bill is on the line in Guthrie Center. Hi, Bill.
Oh, hi. Prudence Young, born in 1889, mm-hmm. made it all the way through third grade in Exira. She used to say, "When you're tired of life and all its scenes, go out in the garden and hide in the beans."
And this is your grandmother?
Yeah. She had a comment that suited the recent political season. "The sights you see when you haven't got your gun."
All right, Phil. Thanks a lot for sharing.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sam is on the line next in Iowa City. Hi, Sam.
Hi. I have a quote from Watership Down by Douglas Adams, or Richard Adams.
Yeah.
We weren't going to correct you.
And it's actually a quote that's entirely in the rabbit language that he uses throughout the book that I'm a fan of because of the way it's written, that he continues to bring up little words that these rabbits in the book say to each other in their own language. And then at the end, they all tie together into one sentence that if you're paying attention, you understand, and if not, then you have to go back through the book and look it up. But he says, Sifle Haraka'u Emblir Elil, I think, which means eat, the kind of thing that you tell someone to eat when you're mad at them, you stinking enemy.
Okay.
But I've always appreciated the foreshadowing of the language.
All right. Sam, thanks a lot for sharing that with us today.
Yep.
And next up, we've got Vicky on the line in Luther. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Cherry. I just wanted to add, I've always enjoyed the quote that's been attributed to Alice Roosevelt, that if you have nothing good to say, come sit by me. And while I was on the phone, I thought of another one that's attributed to Winston Churchill, is that the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man. Mm-hmm. I think that one's very true. So thank you very much.
All right, Vicky, thank you so much for sharing. And we have a number of great quotes that have been shared on Facebook this hour. This is from Heather. In each man's heart, there's a secret sorrow that the world knows nothing about. Lillian Roth. And Heather says that quote reminds her to treat people more gently. Here's a tweet from Emily. Re-examine all you've been told at school. Dismiss what insults your soul, and your very flesh shall be a great poem. Walt Whitman. Mm-hmm. And this is from Rob. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. That's John F. Kennedy, which I know you, you've quoted Kennedy a lot in your teaching, haven't you, Dick?
Yes. Yeah, he was a very quotable gentleman, smart man.
When you look around the world today, who do you think we'll be quoting in another 50 to 100 years?
Wow. We may be short on that. Somewhere in some junior high school, there's a wonderful teacher that will write something and we'll quote her. But I don't know who that person is. I mean, I think I really believe that there are hundreds of people in our Congress who are absolutely wonderful and smart and want to serve us, and we've just got to uncover those people. So I don't have a specific name right now in my mind. But I wanted to say one thing quickly. When she brought up Alice Roosevelt, you know, one of the great quotes comes from her father, Theodore, when asked, you know, why he couldn't control her. And he said, well, I can run the country, maybe, and I maybe could run Alice, but I can't do both. So, you know, I have an aunt named after Alice and a teddy bear in my family that I still have, and the Roosevelts are good people.
Dick, thank you so much for being here today. And thank you to everybody who called in or sent email. We didn't have time to share all of the great quotes that were shared today. I think the conversation will continue on Facebook. Dick Peters is Professor Emeritus of Education at Cornell College. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. Have a great day.